Back into another episode of the Daft on Draft podcast. I am your co-host Corey Kennan alongside Dalton Miller. As always, today we are back to talking some prospects. We are talking Texas defense. Dalton, I kind of liked the either Daft or Draft or Mailbag in the middle to give us an extra day to watch guys instead of trying to stack them back to back. I don't know how you felt about that, but I kind of liked it.
Well, it was quite nice. I needed it quite badly because I didn't have time to finish those guys up yesterday. I got them done today. We are moving everything. Dude, we are on all of the secondhand pages and WhatsApp here. Oh, we're selling everything. Everything is going. This place is becoming spotless just because we don't have much in it. We are flying out on the last day of July. We will be home on August 1st in the United States.
So what are you going to do if you sell your bed before you move out?
The bed and everything's staying.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so the bed's staying. Or a lot of the other big stuff's going, but the sleeper sofa out here that we bought, the sectional, is staying. The owners are cool with it staying. The owners here have been phenomenal to us. We've never met them. We've never really talked to them. It's all been handled by the property manager, and they don't really care because we don't really mess anything up. So it's just been wonderful. But yeah, we're getting everything out, man, and it feels wonderful. I'm very excited. I'm very excited to get back. However, recording this podcast might be tough, and doing the Patreon stuff might be tough for a while because I might be selling the computer here in a second, so everything will be off the laptop, which it just makes things a little bit harder.
Yeah, I might have pressed pause on the Patreon maybe for a sec. We can deal with some LQ recording for a little while, but
listen, with all the games that are already on there, you guys can wait for some cut-ups until I get back to the United States.
Yeah, we can go. I'm cool with some LQ audio though for the pod to keep this thing rolling. But today we are talking about Texas defensively, and Dalton and I were talking off air for a team that just produced a ton of NFL talent over the past few years. Defensively, boy. It's a little hard out here this year in 2026, at least to start the season. There is a young player in their secondary I'm pretty excited about. Other than that, man, we are treading in some dangerous territory here with this Texas defense.
And we're treading in territory where Corey and I are going to bash some dudes. I mean, and this is putting it lightly. We are going to bash some dudes who are getting top 15, like first 20, round talk.
Yeah.
And it's just not, guys, it's not there.
For two guys, two of them.
For two of them, it's just not there.
Yep.
And let's just get it started off with the person, the guy that we like the most, I think, together. Which is somebody who we think is going to go on day three. who is edge rusher Trey Moore. Corey, I'll let you start. But yeah, the two guys who are getting first round talk, we will get to, and you guys will wait for the absolute bludgeoning that we're going to give those two guys.
Yeah, so Trey Moore's, he's a really unique player where I think he hangs as a rotational pass rusher, likely day three. His game has a sprinkle of everything, but he's really a master of none kind of situation. With Trey Moore, but I think you mentioned his pass rush bag is relatively deep, and I do agree with that as well. I think he needs a go-to. I think he needs a go-to that I don't quite see. You always need your ace up your sleeve, right?
Yeah, can I interject real quick?
Yeah, go for it.
If anybody watched Donovan Ezeraquu last year.
Well, that's fair.
Trey Moore reminds me of when I used to talk about Ezeraquu. I used to say he was on the sideline and he was just picking pass rush moves out of a hat. And that's the order that he would use those pass rush moves. That's how I feel about Trey Moore too. The whole bag is there and he's just kind of throwing names out of the hat to just do them every once in a while.
Yeah. Yeah. Like some of the best, what I struggle with like the guys with diverse pass rush move, like Bags, though, is like every good NFL pass rusher has a go to, and that's how they win, and then they can change it up on you. So I think like Donovan Ezerock, who's a great example of this, did he have a go to? I don't know. That's why he wasn't a first round pick like people thought he was going to be. Trey Moore, I think, also lacks some of the athletic traits that Donovan Ezerock has.
Yeah.
But I think he's got a good first step, and he plays to the whistle, and he's a motor guy, and I think that plays. I think that plays. So I do think that we're talking about a rotational pass rusher. Again, how early? Maybe he could play himself into some comp pick range, but I think more recent, Mike, we're probably talking 125 to 175 for a player like Trey Moore, I think, is kind of his range. But he's a good player, man. He's a sturdy, sturdy player.
Yeah, and I think that he has versatility as well, because he is athletic enough to play in space. He can drop back into coverage, and he can survive in space as well. And I saw him play a little bit off of the ball as a, you know, more traditional linebacker, a couple of wheel snaps. So I do think that you can move him around and have a little bit of fun with him. He was also quite, I thought he was quite good playing defensive line games and working off of his teammates. But like you said, man, like there's just, first of all, there's zero power element. And Corey has talked about this a lot recently. Like if you don't have that, if you can't win through the chain, it's really, really difficult to win at the NFL level. And I do think he has a little bit of bend, but he doesn't have that ability to bend through contact as well. And so he has to absolutely win around the arc. And he doesn't quite have the juice to do that. I actually do think that he has the pure athleticism, the pure juice to do it, but his hands are weak and his hands are inaccurate. And if he could get his hands, like the couple of times that he wins, it looks really, really good, but he can't win consistently because his hands are all over the place. And the pass rush repertoire, although it's there, is very scattershot in how he dismantles it, or how he uses it. So for me, yeah, he's a rotational guy, but I do think the one thing you didn't talk about that I actually enjoyed in his game was his ability to drop back into coverage. So I think odd front teams that run a lot of 50 front, you know, you're going to show him at the line of scrimmage and shoot him out to the flat, shoot him into the hook. He had some awareness and coverage as well. So I think that you can survive with him in that sort of role as, you know, a third down, you know, designated pass rusher. But I do really, really want him to show more accuracy in his hands this year.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Should we just dive in here with the two other guys here?
Yeah. Do you want to start with
let's start with the
lanky corner who can't cover, or the linebacker who can't turn and run?
Let's start with Anthony Hill, because I frequently see him in like top 15 big boards.
It's disgusting. He
reminds me of Oklahoma linebacker who went in the first round and has not had a good NFL career since going in the first round.
What?
Although that Oklahoma linebacker was very, very explosive in a.
He's worse than
Kenneth Walker or Kenneth Murray.
Kenneth Murray by far.
Yeah.
I honestly, and this is me being nice, because you guys know, if you've listened to me at all, I don't bash players. There is nothing, and I repeat, nothing that I saw in Anthony Hill Jr.'s game that would suggest I would take him anywhere in the top four rounds. Nothing. I didn't see impressive athleticism. I saw nothing from a cognitive perspective outside of what I will say. The one thing is that he was decently heady in coverage, and he is actually one of the thousands of college football linebackers, but he is one of probably 10 who actually gets depth on his drops and gets to his landing spot where it's supposed to be. But he's not making plays on the ball in coverage. He doesn't have any playmaking ability. I saw the ball whiz past his head 7 or 8 times. Like, I watched 5 games just to try to see something, and there was just nothing that I could see that suggested this young man was going to be a top 100 pick.
No. No, I don't get where we decided that he was a top 15 pick. Like, I have an inkling, and I'm gonna look it up right now to see if this is exactly what it. Well, he's 6'3", 237. People love big dudes, but he also has a 72 PFF grade and an 80 defensive grade. So people who will just want to storm to PFF will probably. The dude missed 15% of his tackles. At 6'3", 237. If you can't do anything else, if you can't turn and run, if you can't trigger, you better be able to at least tackle, man. He missed 18 tackles.
I have no clue what his eyes are doing half the time. Like, like, legitimately, I have no clue.
I don't get it. I don't get it. But he's not very good. He's big.
We can move on, right?
That's about it. Yeah. Let's move on to our buddy Malik Muhammad now. Slow feet don't eat.
His stance is 6 inches apart. He can't turn and run because his stance is horrific. He struggles to flip. He's way too late to mirror and match guys. He's often forced into recovery. When he is forced into recovery, he panics. He is not patient at all in his half turn in cover three and will just allow cushions of 10 plus yards on stop routes because he is looking vertically at a receiver who has ran outside of him into his blind spot and stopped 12 yards away. He can't multitask with his eyes. He's either on the receiver or on the quarterback. He cannot do both. There is no peripheral vision. His eyes don't go like this. He's not quick footed. He's long, but he's not super physical.
At 178 pounds.
I don't see playmaking on the ball. And there was a play. Was it against Arizona State where he was in cover three and he bounced off of the post, which great. Let the safety take the post. But there was a deep over and he let the deep over run by him and he looked at him and then he looked back at the quarterback and the ball just went right over his head.
Yeah. So that is Malik Muhammad. I think Dalton took it all at listed 6'178", which means he's probably 5'10", 170.
He's listed at 6 foot?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was listed bigger than that. What are we doing here?
Yeah.
He's not even a big corner.
Nope. No, he's not. His season ended with penalties in his last three games. Yeah. Summer scouting, man. We talk about some guys who end up going day three by the time the NFL draft rolls around. And we talk about some guys as day three picks that end up going in the first round by the time the NFL draft rolls around. It is what it is. But yeah, this guy, he is not on the same plane as Jadae Barron. Like, watch those guys back to back. And you want to call Malik Muhammad a first rounder when Jadae Barron just went in the first round? That's what it takes to be a first rounder. Do you see the same kind of player?
I couldn't stop watching Jadae Barron when I was trying to watch everyone else's tape.
Right. Yeah, so that's gonna do it for there. They do have three other players in that secondary though worth talking about. We'll go to the seasoned veteran next. Michael Taffey. Opted to come back to school. Wore his number 16. I liked a lot of his instincts in like a buzz look, like a robber look, look. I enjoyed that. I think a lot of times he's a little over eager to play the man than play the football. I think he just wants to be a hard hitter and he's really
does.
Like just play the football, man. Like you might have an interception if you keep your head up and not just like try to torpedo the receiver trying to catch the football in front of you.
He almost like a couple of times would like slow down and then load up so he could hit instead of just running through and trying to get into the passing window.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing I struggle with, and I struggle with Makuba and another safety that we'll talk about here in a second, a young guy. They don't read step. It's almost like they anticipate underneath first and then turn and run if they have to.
Yeah.
Like I don't love the way they're coached. Like that's definitely a coaching thing because they all do it. They yeah. don't read step. They like buzz to start and then they turn and run if they have to. Which almost like from a cognitive perspective, like trying to evaluate their what they're doing with their eyes, it almost makes them all look dumb. Like they don't know what they're doing off the ball. They don't know what they're looking at. But once you see they're all doing
they're,
it,
yeah, they're
it's got to be the way they're coached.
Their fit or freeze is really fit first. Like yeah. it's real quick. It's way less freeze and way more fit.
Yeah, for sure. With Taffy, though, I don't know if he has that ability to turn and run when he has to turn and run. Which is why I think he's really good triggering downhill. The high-end athletic upside, though, to range out, though, to turn and run and range out over the top, I don't quite see it.
I saw some okay range overall, like when he was going from center field to the sideline. But there were also times where like he would let a tight end cross his face and then he was in recovery mode and he like kind of caught up, but didn't really catch up. So I think he's just an average athlete overall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And then I thought he also missed quite a few open field tackles.
Yeah.
Like quite a few open field where he's knee diving, which is so funny because I think he wants to be an enforcer. He's
a good tackler when it's not in the open field.
Yeah. Yeah.
I also saw some really, really aggressive angles that just weren't there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he could play in two high structures. I think he could be a third safety in a team that likes to run a lot of 1-3.
Mm-hmm. Anyone from the Shanahan tree is a good call. That's a good
Fangio defensive back, yeah, or any Fangio. Like,
he could
stick in there.
Yep.
But he ain't playing no single high. He's not playing any single high. Let's move on to Jalen Gilbo. I did like Gilbo because I thought he could play a little bit of safety and could play a little bit of nickel, do a little bit of this, do a little bit of that.
I liked when he shot back into cover two mm-hmm. looks. I thought that he looked pretty natural in that role.
He's kind of blind though; like he can't find the football, and I don't think he's like has a ton of instincts in like when he's asked to turn and burn or play in like a 3-4, like 3-look, 4-look. I don't see a whole lot of comfortability with his back to the line of scrimmage.
I thought that he was most comfortable in trail.
Yep. So he's more of a nickel than he is a safety. Yeah.
Yeah. He was most comfortable in trail. I think that he is undersized. I think that he really wants to be an enforcer because he's pretty good against in the screen game. But he is an absolute ankle biter, like to the very definition. His picture is beside ankle biter because it's really all that he can do. He yeah. is not a very strong player, and you can survive like that because he has the ferocity to do it. But like in the open field, like I watched, I forget who it was. It might have been. It might have been Tate. It might have been Carnell Tate who blocked him on the edge one time. And I swear he got up underneath his breastplate and shoved him 6 yards in the air and in back. Like, you can't be getting dogged like that by a wide receiver. If you get got by an offensive lineman on a screen, that's one thing. But you can't get thrown out the club by a wide receiver like that. And that's just like the lack of pure physicality that he has. But I do like some of the stuff that he shows in coverage. I do like some of the C2 looks. I think that some of the other stuff is kind of tough. But the forearm and bicep swag that he has with the armbands.
Uh-huh.
That's something that every
It's a Texas thing. It's like DeMarvin Overshun would do with his legs and his arms.
Everybody needs to do it. Like, if you are like a good college football player, please, or if you are a unit, if you are a defensive unit, coordinate your swag so people can easily find you on tape. Have somebody wear a left leg sleeve. Have somebody wear a right armband. Have different jersey swag so it is easy to identify you on tape.
Yes.
So thank you, Gilbert.
So much easy. So easy. Yes. So the next safety I want to talk about here is a young guy, played rotationally, a little nickel, a little box, a little, and a lot of over the top too. Jelani McDonald. I had a scout say, like, this kid is legit. This kid is real. So I checked him out. Again, with those Texas safeties, I still am having a hard time identifying, like, well, how are his eyes, and, you know, cover four, how are his eyes, and, you know, like, things like that.
Is he number four?
25. Four's Makuba.
Oh, yeah, four was Makuba. No, 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 no. Who am I thinking of? Was it? Is there a number 24 that was on their defense last year? I'm trying to think. Right, somebody.
25. Yeah, it was McDonald.
Okay,
he'll run the alley like an MF.
He smacked the shit out of somebody on tape. And I don't remember what game it was, but he came downhill and it wasn't a blind side.
Mm-hmm.
And he smacked the hell out of him. He's pretty big, right?
He is. Let me look him up real fast. He was recruited as a athlete as well. So he's got some ball skills as well. He is going to wear four this year, though. He's taking Makuba. He's 6'2", 200. Yeah, so he's...
Got you.
He's lanky on film, but yeah, he's a big dude. Yeah. Where's number 25? But the dude will run the alley like none other. I thought he was a really good tackler, too, in the open field, like blowing up screens, coming down on outside runs, things like that, from both nickel and over the top. I wish he was a little more physical, deconstructing blockers out of his frame. I think he struggles to deconstruct blockers out of his frame a little bit. But he also has really good ball skills because he was recruited as an athlete. And he had one pick last year. If you go watch it was against Kentucky. It's like a full on, like, laid out pick. Like, he's laid out. And he's like diving up the seam. So it's not like he's diving horizontally. He's diving vertically up the seam, picking a ball off the seam. So it's pretty impressive ball skills wise. I thought his change of direction was really smooth for being 6'2", 200. Like, really smooth change of direction. Doesn't play outside of his frame a whole lot. And then I do see that athleticism to turn and burn. Now, again, I've got to go back and watch another game because I need to see, like, I got to hone in on the coverage skills, like the coverage instincts a little bit. But again, he played rotationally last year, and he played in the nickel, and he played over the top, and he played in the box. So they just kind of threw him out all over he was kind of like a... almost like a star defensive back, depending on whatever team they played. Like, they played Arizona State, and Arizona State is playing in trips a ton, so he's in the nickel. You know, there's other teams. Clemson goes 2x2 a ton, so he was playing over the top. Like, so I think they kind of moved him around based on, like, what the opponents they were playing were doing. But I'm excited to see. He's going to take over for Makuba this year in Makuba's role. And so at 6'2", 200, I'm excited to kind of see what happens there with Jelani McDonald. I had a scout say, don't be surprised if he's the first, like, if he's a top safety off the board by next year. Not the top, but a top safety off the board by next year. So, we'll see.
All right. There is one more.
You want to talk about the big boy?
Let's talk about the big boy.
I'll let you go first on this one.
Cole Brevard. He is a transfer from Purdue. And he's a space eater, man. He is a space eater. That's about all you're going to get from him. But I did like, I watched the Notre Dame game. And I watched the Penn State game. And I watched the Oregon game. Oregon was a struggle. I wouldn't play him more than a down against a wide zone team. That ain't in his bag. But Notre Dame and Penn State, teams that are more north-south, and Notre Dame does a lot of, like, guard power and traps, and they do a lot of fun, funky stuff to get their offensive line on the move and get guys going. And he was very, very quickly able to read and react off of his keys and get to where he needed to be based off of that. So his first step was where he was going. And his second step, it didn't take three steps to get his eyes where they were supposed to go and get into the gap that he needed to be in. So somebody who it might be a gap sound defender against more downhill rushing teams, you can play with that. You can play with that because he's going to be able to keep linebackers clean. Now, there were some balance issues as well. So, I mean, we are definitely talking about a guy who I think is going to be a late day three or a PFA type of guy because he doesn't have stellar athleticism either. But I did really enjoy watching his process, which is something that I personally believe is lacking with a lot of interior defenders at the college level.
Yeah. So when I was watching Texas, and they had two like 6th-year seniors they brought in just for this purpose last year. Norton, the guy who played at Georgia, and Lowell, who played at Arizona State. And I actually, like, every time I watched Texas, I was like, how did Jeremiah Lowell not get more hype? And he didn't get drafted, obviously, because he's like one-dimensional. But I thought Jeremiah Lowell was actually like pretty good. Every time I watched, like, Lowell's pretty good playing up front for them. And I think that's kind of the role we're gonna be thinking about with Brever here. He's not gonna be Alfred Collins, even though Alfred Collins kind of the no pass rush upside either for the most part. But I think what Norton and Lowell did for them last year is kind of the role that he's going to play. But yeah, neither of those guys got drafted, and both those guys were like 6th-year seniors. So kind of probably in the same realm there for Brevard. But that's all I got, Dalton.
Yeah, that's all I got. I got another meal to eat. The carb up continues. It's the last meal, and then I'm going to bed, and then we got another big day tomorrow. And the mock show is on Sunday, so that'll be a fun one. We're gonna get some good pictures. Don't have any stage lighting or anything, but we're gonna do it all in natural light. I'm gonna force my wife to take pictures of me. I might even get a spray tan for it. I might go all out on it if I can find a spray tan place or if my wife can get spray tan for me. So we'll see. We'll see. It'll be interesting. But the next 2 days after that are going to be fun because I'm going to be good when it comes to eating, but I am going to enjoy some food that I have not had and have been dying to get for months now.
I love it. I love it. Well, you have a great night. You have fun carbo loading up here a little bit. I've got another call with the Steelers guy to talk about Aaron Rodgers, so that's going to be fun. But that's gonna do it for this episode of the Daft on Draft podcast. We'll see you again next week. We're moving on to Penn State.
We are
Fox Sports. No.
Penn State.
All right. Well, until next time, I'm Corey. That is Dalton, and this has been the Daft on Draft podcast.